Excuse me, Ty, lost tonight to Samoa Joe, once again in front of your home country. Do you have any comments on the match?
I don't know what to tell you. I tried my...
Ty, earlier in the night, you did say that if you did not defeat Samoa Joe, that you didn't belong here. Do you believe that?
Sorry, guys.
I hurt myself today to see if I still feel. I focus on the pain, the only thing that's real. The needle tears a hole, the old familiar sting. Try to kill it all away, but I remember everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have it all, my empire of dirt. I will let you down, I will make you hurt.
You stay the hell away from me, you hear?
I wear this crown of thorns.
All right, guys, so welcome to the Next Level Wrestling Podcast. I, as you know, am your host, the Andrew Bello, and this is brought to you by the Wrestling World Podcast Network. Flying solo this week, feel a little lonely. CEO Hayes joined me the last couple shows, and as we covered the TakeOver special and the Hangover Edition episode afterwards, and it was great to have him on. It's going to be sort of weird going at this alone again, so Hayes, you know, thank you for your time. Thank you for the platform, as always. And I'm going to try and take my time a little bit tonight because I did recap an entire episode of 205 Live in 5 minutes last night, which is going to be up on our YouTube channel. This is a brainchild of mine. I'm very proud of it. And I hope that this is something that takes off and hopes that other people on the network, on our network, that is, go ahead and try and do their own versions of it. And let's have some fun with it, guys. We're all going to try and make it our own. I'll probably be doing them out the gate for a little while, but I did want to kind of set the tone. So I did the first episode last night, recapped the whole episode in exactly 5 minutes. The video might be a little longer after we're done editing, but the recap portion is 4 minutes and 59 seconds, like on the nose. So, yeah, it was really fun. 205 Live was interesting. I'm very, very, like I said, very proud of this idea. I think it's something that we could do to get out on YouTube, get some traffic on our YouTube page, which is something we're certainly looking to do in the near future. And hopefully it's out by the time you're listening to this. So go on thewwpn.com. That's thewwpn.com. And go check that out. Hopefully we have links up by the time, like I said, by the time we listen to this. The first episode is audio only, guys. I'm sorry about that. I was just unfortunately ill-equipped at the time that I was going to record, and I wanted to get it out and get it over to CEO and to JB for editing and release. So I did it as quickly as I could. You will rest assured seeing my pretty face on YouTube in the very near future. So I'm gonna make sure I can make that happen. But 205 Live in 5, like I said, I mean, it's a quick recap of the whole show. I literally covered almost every segment of the show last night in 5 minutes. I'm going to try and take my time tonight so that I'm not talking at that rapid speed that I was talking last night. But if you listen to it, I assure you it is not sped up. I can and do on occasion talk that fast. So anyway, in NXT news, I mean, obviously tapings have started up in the post-TakeOver Toronto era. I have been avoiding them like the plague, so I'm completely unaware of anything that's going on in NXT moving forward. I'm very intrigued to see where they go with it. Another couple things, I guess, before I get into a little off topic, I did just want to hit one point that also while you're on our website at thewwpn.com, be sure to check out Mimi's article. Mimi is the first one of us to get an article up on there. It's an article that she sort of had in the can for a little while. It's been talked about a few times. It's about Roman Reigns. I'm not going to lie, it blew my, you know, just blew my socks off. I thought it was just an amazing article. It was a very good, well-formulated opinion from Mimi. Not that I'm surprised, because we do have some very, very talented people here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. I know I look at one in the morning every day, in the mirror, that is. So we have a... yeah, we have that up on the website. We're going to have more articles, so please go check that out. As always, like I asked you guys to do, like, share, subscribe. It helps us. It helps us help you. Hopefully, you know, we can get to the point where we can start making some money, getting some prizes, this, that, and the other thing. Like, we want to ultimately do right by you guys because we appreciate your support. Other than that, I mean, I am going to go into the NXT recap in just a minute here. I'm very excited to see where we're going in this sort of new season. That's one thing I really like about NXT is that, like, when you end a takeover, almost feels like a brand new season has started, especially when you end a couple big feuds or you get a big shocking ending like we did at TakeOver. Granted, I'm sure that story is going to continue for at least another TakeOver set, but it's really cool when you get that first post-takeover. You don't really know what to expect, and I'm excited, so I'm going to do the recap in just a minute. But before I do, I have to go ahead and touch on a match that occurred in the last week between two NXT alumni. This will be my sort of spotlight part two, in that the first ever NXT alumni spotlight I did on this podcast was about Charlotte and Sasha Banks, and those two women just tore the damn house down on Monday night. That match was amazing. And then followed, obviously, on SmackDown the next night by the Alexa Bliss-Becky Lynch segment, which was awesome as well. I think we've turned a corner. I think the women's revolution is over. I think it's just women's wrestling now. And frankly, for my money and pound for pound, might be the best fucking wrestling in the world. Like, I would watch Charlotte and Sasha Banks wrestle an hour-long Iron Man match like any week. Like, you sign me up for that. Same thing with Becky Lynch and Alexa Bliss. Like, I am just so much more into the women as a whole. I mean, granted, there's a lot less of them than I am in some of the men's storylines. It's not even close. Sasha, Charlotte, Becky, Alexa's climbing up the ranks as far as one of my favorites. So hats off to all the women. And I'm not saying this to just, you know, kiss ass and, you know, try and sound like I'm enlightened or I'm this, that, and the other thing. I'm really appreciating this wrestling. And I did not have faith that WWE was going to be able to let these women do, I think, what we all were hoping that they'd let them do and just kind of build a little bit of a character and, you know, hit a little harder and, you know, just be a little bit more natural and make it more competitive. And, you know, just everything that we like about wrestling has sort of been missing from the women's division for forever. But now you have all these women with characters, great looks, great in-ring ability, great move sets, great everything, and they are all colliding now on two different shows, and that's not even counting NXT, and man, they are taking the ball and running with it. Good for them, good on all of them, good on creative for letting them do what they want to do, or letting them be who they can be, rather, and I just thought that was amazing. I did want to touch on that. That ending to that Charlotte Sasha Banks match was fucking dope. Like, I was... As soon as I saw her setting up that move in the little guardrail there, for those of you who haven't seen it, I'm sorry, it was Monday, it's on you at this point, but man, that was awesome. That whole match was awesome. The moment with Flair at the end was awesome. I mean, it was just really an amazing event from beginning to end, and yeah, I'm a little starting to get a little gun-shy on them or a little bit upset with them just flip-flopping the title back and forth, but these are the two best women's wrestlers in the world right now. At least on Raw, you know, in their little microcosm, and frankly, they should be passing the belt back and forth for a little while because they're the two best, and neither one of them is that much better than the other. I really like this feud, and I'm going to be sad when it ends, but at the same time, obviously, I'm going to be happy to see them both move on to other things. I'd like to see a double turn at some point. As great of a heel as Charlotte's been, Sasha's character is just way more inherently heelish. The boss and that, all that thing, and her just sort of sass and. She should be a heel, but she's too fucking awesome, and we all, you know, for most of us love her, and we aren't going to be booing her, but the character could still be a heel, and she could still get whatever reaction WWE wants her to get. I'd like to see a double turn, mostly because not only does Sasha's character fit better as a heel, be really interested to see what Charlotte could do as a face at this point. I think she's really mastered her character as a heel. I think at this point she could probably go back to it at any point, and it'll still be awesome. But I'm just very enthused to see what that might bring. And I want to see Charlotte throw down with Asuka and Nia Jax. Like, I want to see her kind of fighting from behind with some of these, you know, either bigger or more vicious women. I'm really looking forward to all that. I've touched on that with CEO in a couple shows in the past. But, yeah, that's it. I really did just want to kind of give a nod to the women there across the board. But, damn, that match on Monday night, like, I will always be excited for a match between the Queen and the Boss, in Flair country, no less. Ric Flair making an appearance, like, all of that. I mean, I may use this expression a lot, but that thing, that whole event just checked all the boxes for me, and I couldn't have been happier with it. I was one of probably many people who jumped off my couch when that match ended, and I stared at my friend who was there watching with me, and his mouth was just hung wide open. It's really cool. Like, the suspension of disbelief is very easy to lift when everybody's doing their job and they're doing it well. And yeah, that's why we love professional wrestling. So I did just want to touch on that. We're going to go right into the NXT recap for this week. Alright guys, so we're starting off episode 366 of NXT. I think we got a new intro video, or at least I'm noticing it for the first time. I don't know how new it is, but I noticed there was like a little clip of Liv Morgan in the middle that I had never noticed before. So maybe we're getting a new video, sort of a new era for NXT. We start off right out the gate with the NXT Women's Champion, Asuka. She's facing a performer by the name of Nicole Matthews, who I actually have heard of. So some of you out there may not watch a lot of indie women's wrestling, and for that matter, I don't either, but I happen to know Nicole Matthews from, she frequents another podcast that I listened to at one point, that I will not plug right now because it's not here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. But Nicole Matthews is a, you know, sort of a big deal as far as women's wrestling in the indie. She's in Shimmer, and she's also fights, she's from Canada, and she fights out of a promotion called NWA, Extreme Canadian Championship Wrestling, up in the Northwest. So just to give you sort of an idea where Nicole Matthews ranks in the world of women's wrestling, the PWI Top 50 from 2016, sort of a kayfabe chart, but you know, when you get into indie wrestling, I mean, there's only so much I guess they can really do in that respect, as you'll see here. But on this particular list, just to kind of give you a little perspective, for 2016, which is basically like the second half of 2015 and the first half of 2016, because it's not the actual calendar year anyway, we get the list. So number 19 on this list was Paige. Number 18 is Candice LeRae. Number 17 is Chikara Grand Champion Kimberly. And then at number 16 is Nicole Matthews. So she, in the grand scheme of things, is sort of a big deal in women's wrestling. She comes in, she works a fine match. Obviously, she just came into job to Asuka and kind of get, I don't know if she's officially in the system now or if she's just sort of playing this kind of role where she's able to kind of just come in and duck in and do quick one-offs, like almost like Blue Pants had going on, or like Santana Garrett or any of these other women that we see that we recognize from the indies, but they haven't been in NXT full-time, at least for any period of time that we're, you know, aware of yet. But anyway, we go from there. Obviously, Asuka wins that match. And we get a Samoa Joe promo in the back. not going to lie, as good as this segment was, and I'll get into that in a second, I'm missing, like, the, I just want Joe out just rampaging, talking, just the smuggest dude. I mean, he does that in this promo here, but I want him just out there just rubbing it in fans' faces. Like, I don't know, like, I feel like he could be more sinister and imposing. I don't know that he could be any more imposing, but he could be more overbearing, I guess, if you will, about how, you know, he beat down Nakamura. Maybe we'll get that after he wins in Japan, if that happens. Very interested to see what's going on there. But speaking of that match, are we not getting that on the network? Like, I know that's a completely rhetorical question. Like, I don't know the answer, but I just know you can't respond because I know how this works. But Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura 3, and it's going to be live in at a live event in Japan. Like, we're not even getting that rematch. I'm all for them doing the house show title switches, but that doesn't work when you do it in a country that you're only in, like, once a year. Like, you're going to sell those shows out anyway. You don't need to do the house show title switch gimmick on those shows. Like, they're already going to sell out. Like, the people in Boise, Idaho know you're probably not going to switch the title there. That's why you do that sort of thing, to try to drive up house show ticket sales. But, I mean, I don't know. That just makes sense to me. But I really hope that we get that match, even if they do it, like, on tape delay. Like, I assume that match is going to be occurring at like 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, so that's going to be whatever. I mean, like I said, I would watch it. I mean, I'd wake up and watch it because it'll be awesome, but I don't know that they're gonna do that. I mean, that's not how it sounds. There's not like a card built. I'm sort of bummed about that. I hope that they change their minds on something like that. But anyway, as Joe is sort of going on about how he's going to beat Nakamura in Japan, and how convenient it is that Regal's giving him his rematch right away, and that he wants Nakamura to be the champion, Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10 himself, interrupts Joe, and Dillinger was sort of lost when we last saw him. Like, he's trying to figure out where he is in the grand scheme of things. He lost to Bobby Roode. He's fighting hard, but he's just not getting results. So maybe he's going after Samoa Joe here, sort of as a way to try and prove himself. And sure enough, that's exactly what he's doing. So he comes up and he says, you know, Samoa Joe's ranting about how he's the man around here. He's on another level, perhaps even the next level. But so Ty Dillinger says, you know, if you're the man around here, I want a shot at the man. And Joe goes, you know, you got to give me a reason. Like, well, you're not worthy. You're not on my level. And he said, well, I could probably give you 10 reasons, but you're only going to need one. And he slaps Samoa Joe and runs off like a little bitch. It was just really weird. I don't know why he did that, but I don't, that part of it was cool. Like, good on Dillinger, like, his character beating, slapping Samoa Joe. That's like a huge deal. That's a pretty big spot for him in the grand scheme of NXT. But why did Samoa Joe just, like, stand there? I mean, I know it's like the whole, like, wrestling fake, like, can't run past the camera, can't escape from the ring when you're chasing after somebody kind of weird gimmick, but like, Samoa Joe couldn't be held back by, like, 95 security guards a week ago when him and Nakamura were going at it. This man just boldly slaps him in the back, and all that's separating him is, like, a 5-foot-tall woman with a microphone. Like, I don't understand the logic there, but Dillinger and Joe is going to be our main event tonight, and we go on to the first match of the night, or the first men's match of the night, I guess. No Way Jose taking on Eric Young. Obviously, we all saw what happened last week, but we now get the official match. No Way Jose, you know, comes out, does his shtick. Eric Young has Sanity in tow, and man, Sanity is just really coming together for me in an awesome way that I didn't really see coming. I've always liked Eric Young. I'll get into him in a minute, but there is just something really cool about this faction, and Nikki Cross, who I'll also get into in a little bit, is an exceptional addition. I didn't really know how that was going to work. I think it has an immense impact on the group as a whole. She's playing her character really well. They're all doing a really good job and working cohesively, and I think with, particularly with Nikki Cross, like, she can open a lot of doors with this sort of role. And maybe, you know, maybe work towards, like, intergender wrestling. Like, she can have that sort of impact, even if that's not what ultimately happens, whether or not that's something you're in favor of. But anyway, we get sort of a weird start to the match. So No Way Jose is doing, like, a little dance, and Eric Young, again, love EY. Like, I liked Eric Young back when his pyro used to scare him in TNA, like, all the way up to, you know, a world-class maniac in TNA. Like, I love Eric Young. He, at one point, was, to me, one of the most entertaining wrestlers in the world. And he still is. Like, don't get me wrong. This is not a sharp criticism on why I don't like Eric Young. I do like Eric Young. I like him a lot. But he starts off this match, and I'm assuming, like, he's calling the shots in here. Like, he's the ring general in this match. These are all assumptions, folks, but I've been watching wrestling a while. I'm putting all this stuff together. By any means, if you disagree, let me know, at WWPNBello on Gmail and on Twitter. So we get a weird start to the match. No Way Jose's dancing, and Eric Young, like, rushes him. Like, he's gonna, like, you know, I'm not having any of this shit, and he just goes rushing up to No Way Jose and walks right into a tie-up, like a collar elbow tie-up. It was just really weird. Like, he didn't go, like, after a strike. Like, in order to do, really, like, a collar elbow tie-up, like, even in kayfabe, in the fighting style, like, there's a certain amount of consent that goes into, like, locking up in that fashion from the other participants. So if he's, like, trying to interrupt Jose's dancing, I don't really know how that works, but it's very strange. We start off the match, and Jose's just coming out like a house of fire here. He's beating up on EY, throws him to the outside. Sanity surrounds the ring, sort of a la Wyatt family. And this is kind of like, yeah, Sanity's sort of like the Wyatt family meets Decay, meets like a extras from a Marilyn Manson video or some weird shit like that. Like, they're just sort of crazy and awesome, and they surround the ring anyway, and No Way Jose doesn't bite. Like, he just goes right after EY, pulls him back into the ring, beats him down a little bit more, tosses him to the outside, and we get a commercial break. So far, so good. No Way Jose really establishing himself. No sign of Rich Swann at this point, who obviously was kind of teaming with Jose, but spoiler alert, fast forward 15 seconds, he just won the Cruiserweight title last night on 205 Live, and I wonder if they had this planned, obviously with him not being involved in this particular angle. Fast forward another 15 seconds. With him not being part of this angle now, it's, I guess, stands to reason that they did have this plan where Swann was going to take the title. Very, very strange that they just kind of dropped him out of this, and that Jose was able to sort of keep him, keep his composure with all these people surrounding him, and he was able to sort of hold his own, which is weird. But we come back from commercial, and Jose's still in control. Eric Young ultimately takes control back with a big neck breaker on the top rope. He's stomping on Jose in the corner for a little while. This was an awesome move. Is he picks up Jose into a hanging dragon sleeper from the second rope. Obviously, not a submission he's going to win any matches with, but sort of like Tajiri's tarantula, like, or, you know, I'm sure he's maybe perhaps not the innovator of that move, but Emma does it as well. But, you know, just sort of a, not that Emma's good, never mind. But it's just one of those cool, super vicious submission moves where he uses the rope, almost like when Bret Hart used to do the figure four on the ring post. But we go back. Jose mounts a bit of a comeback here. He hits a massive clothesline to Young, who just sells it. He folds in half in the middle of the ring. And we get a baseball punch to Wolf, who hops up on the apron. And another baseball punch to Eric Young, who is down in the middle of the ring. And the ref is distracted. As Jose goes for the pin, Nikki Cross hops up on the apron, distracts the ref. EY goes ahead and hits Jose from behind while the ref's back is turned. And he hits him with his finisher, that awesome wheelbarrow neck breaker. And EY wins this match. Nikki Cross, like I said, is just working this really well. She obviously does the distraction that wins Young the match here. And then she basically needs to be held back by all three of them, as she just is this rabid animal who wants to go ahead and attack Jose even when he's down. They end up posing for a little bit. They walk back as they're, you know, at one point, not Wolf, but the other one. What is his name? Fulton. I'm sorry. Fulton is literally carrying Cross away because she's just you know, she's just a rabid animal, like I said. Anyway, so Nikki Cross is, anyway, they walk back up the ramp, and she comes back and hits a dropkick on Jose just as he gets back up. Like, she's out of control. She's the craziest of all of them, which is just, like, awesome. Like I said before, she's really contributing here. Is Nikki Cross going to be Asuka's challenger? Like, is she... Because me and CEO were racking our brains trying to figure out who Asuka's going to fight next. And we will get into that in just a minute. But is Nikki Cross going to be the next challenger for Asuka? Well, sure enough, maybe they knew that people would start thinking that. Or maybe I'm just ahead of the curve. But we go right into an Asuka promo in the back. And Asuka cuts a pretty damn good promo here. Obviously, Asuka's English isn't spectacular. But she does go ahead and cut a pretty solid promo here. And she just says, I'm out of competition. There's just none left. And walks away with her awesome smile on her face. And there really is no competition for her right now. But frankly, we haven't seen a whole lot out of Nikki Cross. And when we did, she beat Devil Loving Crap out of a jobber. And then she beat her up again after the match. So she's pretty vicious. And Asuka's pretty brutal. So I say we throw him in there and see what happens here. But what me and CEO, like I said, we're talking about this. I think if it's not Nikki Cross, obviously they're going to try, as far as Asuka's concerned, to build towards Ember Moon. And if not, maybe like I said, when Hayes and I were talking about it, is that maybe they bring in another outsider, a famous outsider. Like, maybe they do go ahead and bring in like Victoria or Ivory or Lita or Trish Stratus once she's after she's given birth to her second child, which is presumably why she wasn't fighting Asuka at TakeOver Toronto, which is her hometown. But that was a rumor that was floating around for a little while. But yeah, Asuka's future is tentative, but obviously she's awesome. I mean, she did put on a fairly entertaining match with Nicole Matthews tonight. Not to say that Nicole Matthews didn't contribute to that at all, but we all know when we see those sort of matches that Asuka is going to win. And it's just a matter of how, you know, in what kind of fashion and whether or not they can make it entertaining for the 5 to 10 minutes that they get. And she always does. Asuka always makes it entertaining. I love her just shit talk in Japanese. Like, I don't understand what she's saying, but it's fucking awesome. Like, I love when she's just going like that. I love it on all sorts of levels. Like, I love it as a wrestling fan. I love it as a man. I just think it's really cool and crazy, and it's fun, and it adds to her character a lot. But, yeah, so that's pretty much it. I'm going to get into the main event here, but I'm going to go ahead and take a break first. But before I do, I did just want to say my beef with Corey Graves is continuing. I've discontinued his segment from my show. I don't know if I mentioned something in the intro about this, but if I did, I have completely and utterly changed my mind on any possibility of overturning that for the near future for a couple of reasons. First of all, dude's got to leave my state alone. And, as much as I love Corey Graves still, he's still very entertaining. He did a good job tonight. Didn't really give me anything special, I'm not going to lie. And I could give it to Samoa Joe, who's great, or even Asuka for the promo. But, you know, I'm thinking about reevaluating some of the segments on the show, just kind of switching it up a little bit now. I'm feeling a little bit more comfortable with doing the recaps and doing the recording process on a weekly basis. But so there will be no more Corey Graves moment, at least for the foreseeable future. He does have the ability to... to go ahead and win back my good graces. Not that I think he gives the slightest bit of a shit, but also he was sitting last night on the desk for 205 Live with Mauro Ranallo and Austin Aries, because that's awesome. And frankly, Austin Aries just outshined him. I mean, he is the greatest man I ever lived. Not going to lie. I mean, those are tough shoes to try and fill or a tough standard to live up to if you're Corey Graves. But Corey Graves is really good with his, you know, his little one-liners and his, like, heel logic and all that kind of shit. And Austin Aries sitting next to him, I mean, it was just like a masterclass. Austin Aries just completely outshined him in every respect for me personally last night. I don't know if you disagree. Once again, find me on Twitter at WWPNBello or on Gmail, obviously, WWPNBello@gmail.com. You could go to thewwpn.com, which is our website, obviously. We've going to have everything up there, including 205 Live, Mimi's articles, and other articles. But Mimi's got the first one up there, as I mentioned, and all access to all of our podcasts, contact information, phone numbers, this, that, and the other thing. So go on there. Obviously, clicks help us, and likes and shares, as always. So go ahead and do that. We always appreciate it. We appreciate your time. And like I said, when I was talking with Hayes on the last show, while you're listening to this, like at some point you're going to pick up your phone and you're just going to kind of fart around on it, play solitaire or whatever the kids are playing these days, you crazy kids. And so go out and, you know, just hit the buttons. There's two or three buttons there. Like hit the little three dots thing on your iTunes podcast, hit share episode, pop it up on your Facebook feed. Everybody knows somebody who loves wrestling, even if they don't know about it. So it helps us out. It helps you out, hopefully, you know, like you listen to us, hopefully you're enjoying our content. We want to bring more of it to you. So I'm just going to go ahead into this main event here right after this break.
Earlier tonight, Ty Dillinger slapping Samoa Joe backstage saying, I got 10 reasons why I can be in the ring with you.
So, the main event for tonight is, as I mentioned before, Samoa Joe taking on Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10. And if you know, you've listened to this podcast, like, I'm a huge fan of both of these guys, but I'm, like, one of my big, like, underdog, like, hope guys, like, everybody, you know, a lot of people have, like, Cesaro or, like, Bayley or Becky Lynch or, like, whatever, they're a person who isn't quite at the level that they want them to be, and they root for mindlessly, and that's Ty Dillinger for me. Like, I love the guy, and I think he's just working his ass off down in NXT, so I'm not going to lie. I went into this match thinking that there was a possibility he could win it, and I know that sounds absurd, and maybe that's just them doing a good job, and I'm getting worked. Maybe it's just I kind of saw, like, maybe a situation where Nakamura comes out and distracts him, or they really wanted to, you know, have Dillinger in a position where, like, back against his wall, if his back's against the wall, he can come out swinging and fighting. He felt really dejected after the Rude loss. Maybe, just maybe, he comes out and Samoa Joe overlooks him, like Brock Lesnar did with Goldberg for some reason. But I let the thought creep into my head. We get a really solid match. Obviously, two very, very good workers. Dillinger kind of starts off, you know, he kind of gains the upper hand early on, and we do end up going to commercial, and he comes back, and he still kind of has control, and, you know, Samoa Joe ultimately takes over, and despite one last big comeback from Dillinger towards the end of this match, I mean, Joe wins. He kind of goes for... He brought in that double knee breaker into play again this week, which I don't know that he's used a lot over the course of his career. Like, I've watched a lot of Samoa Joe matches. I've never noticed that move in particular. Maybe it's just one of the many awesome moves he's done, and I've just sort of slipped my mind. But that double knee breaker he did on Nakamura, he did again here with Dillinger. He did go for the Chimera Plex, which is sort of weird to me. I mean, like, I'm more of a fan of him waiting for those moments, but he does go for it again, and Dillinger actually slides out of it before he can get the Dragon Suplex, and this was a good match. Dillinger comes up short. He ends up going to sleep as Joe, after a slew of different submission moves, slaps on the Coquina Clutch. We kind of have a lot going on here. Dillinger wakes up eventually, sort of has an emotional wave goodbye moment to the crowd, which I hope Ty Dillinger is not retiring. Like, as much as I do think, like, I think I've probably said on a podcast or two that I think Dillinger's ultimate role is that he's going to be like a trainer and he's going to be awesome. Like, almost like, as Scrap Iron Adam Pierce, like he obviously didn't have a prolific WWE in-ring career, but he's making a huge impact in WWE as a trainer and as an agent and doing, you know, all the behind-the-scenes stuff he's doing now. He's contributing to a lot of the good wrestling that we're seeing on TV. For those of you who don't know, you know, go back and watch his shit. I mean, he cuts a great promo, good in-ring worker. Guy just got it, and for some reason never really got a big, you know, big blow or a big go in WWE, but Scrap Iron Adam Pierce, go ahead and look him up. There's your homework for this week. But yeah, I think Dillinger could be a guy like that somewhere down the road. He could be a really good trainer for them. He obviously gets it. It's just maybe he doesn't have it, despite my personal opinions. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. But I hope he's not retiring. That said, I'm totally cool with Ty Dillinger coming out and cutting a promo where maybe I'm not a perfect 10. Like, maybe I'm just a 38-year-old guy who's been an indie wrestler my whole life, and I'm never going to make it to Raw. And I'm never going to make it to SmackDown. And I'm never going to be a WWE champion. I'm never going to be a WrestleMania. Like, maybe that's it. But maybe not. And so I'm going to put everything I have into this. Not like I've ever have before. Like, I'm going to eat, sleep, breathe, and shit professional wrestling. And I'm going to do everything I can with all my power to make sure that I don't lose for the foreseeable future. And that I become the NXT champion. And I think that would be a really fucking awesome angle for them to do with somebody like him. And even if he falls short and he tries to walk out, like a situation where like the locker room empties and they're just like, no, man, like you got it. You belong here. Like you just keep pushing and you'll get, you know, with a little bit of luck, like you can achieve everything that you've ever wanted. And I think it'd be a really good story. And I think Ty Dillinger deserves something like that. And if I'm not mistaken, there have been 9 NXT champions in history, which would make Ty Dillinger number 10. I could be wrong, but I thought that's something that I saw floating around out there, perhaps on Reddit. But wouldn't that be awesome? And like I said, I don't know where they're going with him from here, because he just lost to the champion after he said, like, I need to find out where I'm at. And he got put the fuck to sleep. So I don't know where you go from there, but a lot going on with Ty Dillinger. I certainly hope we get like sort of a comeback, maybe even, and I'm sorry for all the fantasy booking, maybe we get like a system where he wants to fight his way back up to being a 10, and you're like, we get 10 matches in a row where he's got to win them, and when he does, you know, then he's truly is a perfect 10. That would be cool. Anyway, I'm tooting my own horn on my fantasy booking. Sorry, I get lost in it. Let me switch over to Samoa Joe for a second. Joe obviously has Nakamura in Japan next week. I don't really know where this is going. Like, I would have sworn that this was good. First of all, if this was going to be like an NXT, like WWE Network exclusive show, I'd be guaranteeing that Nakamura is winning. The fact that he's not seems really weird to me. Having said that, like, it's 2016, damn near 2017. Like, the internet's a thing, and they know that they're going to get a million views if they release, like, an HD edit of this match in any way, shape, or form. So, I don't know that they wouldn't just have Nakamura win this title back in Japan to have the moment, and they can, you know, like I said, they could do it that way, where they just share it all over the place and hope that they can, you know, make money back on it. But in my opinion, if that's what they were going to do and that's a moment that they're going to try and sell, that's something that they should be advertising as a live exclusive on the network. Like, this is what I pay $9.99 a month for, shit like this. This is what you're ultimately going to charge me $14.99 a month for. So you should have this stuff together before you start airing Ring of Honor and TNA pay-per-views or whatever the crazy bullshit they were trying to push. So I'm very shocked about that. I'm inclined to say maybe, because that isn't the case, if I'm a betting man, I'd say that the odds are on Samoa Joe. Like, I think Joe is 60-40, maybe. Just because, like I said, if Nakamura was going to win, they'd be making a much bigger deal about this. It would be awesome to see Joe, like, after winning in Japan, after just beating Nakamura in Japan like that, you know, he's going to be such a cocky dick and it's going to be awesome. But maybe they go that route and Nakamura's coming up and they wanted to do like his last NXT show in Japan. They thought that that was just like a good sign and fitting, and they wanted to go that route. I don't know, but I'll be intrigued to see what happens. Either way, I think we're seeing one of these guys going up. Maybe Nakamura wins it back, and they have like the rematch to end all rematches at Royal Rumble weekend. And then the loser of that match pops up in the Royal Rumble. I think me and Hayes were talking about that. I think that might be the safe bet. There isn't a TakeOver special announced between now and Mania, to my knowledge. I think we were looking that up. So there's going to be one Royal Rumble weekend. Like, they're going to make a big deal about that. They're doing it with all the big four pay-per-views. They did it with Survivor Series. They're definitely doing it with the Rumble. So I think that's the way to go, is that they're going to try and blow this feud all the way out to January, whatever. And, yeah, like I said, like, they'll have the rematch to end all rematches. It'll be Joe Nakamura 5, and it'll be fucking awesome. Don't get me wrong. Like, maybe it's a cage. Maybe it's a ladder. Maybe it's just the craziest of shits. I don't even know. Three stages of hell match. Hell in a Cell. Why not? Like, that would be cool. Hell in a Cell for NXT. They totally deserve some shit like that. But yeah, and then either way, whoever loses that match, maybe even both of them end up in the Rumble together. That would be crazy. And I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with whoever they decide to will be the NXT champion moving forward from here. Either Joe or Nakamura, like I said, one of them hopefully goes up. The other one's going to be stuck in NXT for a little while, which sucks. Obviously, we want them both up there. But they need somebody to carry the anchor here for NXT. And I would be inclined to say I hope it's Nakamura, only because I don't think that they'll be able to keep him down there for much longer, whereas Joe's already kind of been down there way too long. I want him up here now. I want him up on the main roster, just because, like, I don't know how many years we have left of Samoa Joe, and I want to see them on the main roster. I want to see him beating ever-living shit out of Dolph Ziggler. I want him kicking The Miz in the face. I want him fighting Seth Rollins, fighting Kevin Owens, fighting Sami Zayn again. I just want all these matches, and I want him fighting The Undertaker. Give me the two of the best strikers in the history of professional wrestling, at least in North America, just going toe-to-toe. I'm down. Like, that would be great. I want Joe up. And as far as whoever holds the title in NXT, it'll be very interesting to see who is their next challenger. Is it Ty Dillinger out of nowhere? Is it, in the case of Joe, we would need a face, and I don't even know that there is one that you could even make viable at this point that could come up after Nakamura. Rude is sort of he's a heel, but he's super over, gets cheered, so maybe they could work that angle, where you have a Rude Joe feud, or even, I mean, I hate to say, and maybe this isn't takeover worthy, but maybe No Way Jose would get a shot at Samoa Joe. I think by virtue of just how little they have booked on the face side, I mean, like I said, after Nakamura, I can't really think of anybody who's really gonna, you know, Cedric Alexander. Like, there's just like random sort of guys. I think it just, I'm inclined to say that Nakamura is gonna win. Again, I don't know. I can talk myself back and forth on this. It's going to be very interesting. But if Nakamura were to win the title, there's a lot more heels for him to face. There's Rude, there's Aries, who, when he gets healthy, there's Almas, who's climbing the ranks. There's Eric Young and Sanity. There's just a lot more going on the heel side in NXT, which is cool. Like, NXT sort of a heel, it's a heel territory in a way. Like, the crowd's smart. They like the heels. Joe's running shit. Asuka's running shit. Regal, who is, like, historically a heel, is like a babyface down there. And, I mean, rightfully so, he's written as one. Like, he's supposed to be a babyface at this point in his career. Like, he's just a legend. But he was always a heel, or he was always a really damn good heel when he was a heel. But, you know, people love him now. So it's sort of heelish by nature. And they are very heel heavy as far as people who are higher up on the kayfabe tier in NXT right now. So I would like to see, with all the talent that they have going on right now, maybe Nakamura and Joe both go up. Like, I'm very big on them using the NXT champion just shows up on Raw and ultimately just relinquishes the title. Like, he goes up without taking a loss, without pageantry, just like boom out of nowhere. The NXT champion shows up on Raw, and like Paige did, just has to relinquish their title because now they're on the main roster. Maybe they do that with Joe and Nakamura, And then we have a situation where we have like a triple threat, fatal four-way, a tournament, a battle royal, a gauntlet match or something where all of a sudden we can get a bunch of people around this belt that haven't even sniffed it yet. And maybe that's like an environment where, yeah, Ty Dillinger wins. Maybe it's a gauntlet match. He's the 10th guy. Maybe it's a situation where, you know, Aries or somebody crazy, fuck it, Corey Graves gets up and like just rolls somebody up and wins the NXT title. Like some crazy shit. Regal goes on a power trip. Like something to really shake things up in NXT. Again, I don't mean to just go nuts with the fantasy booking, but because I have no idea what's going on moving forward, like I'm just so excited about the prospect of NXT. Every time I think like, oh man, like it's starting to get old or, you know, everyone good has gotten moved up to the main roster. And I'm basically watching NXT on Monday Night Raw every week. Rollins, Owens, Zayn, Woods, King, Big E, just like everybody on the main roster, with the exception of like a handful of guys, were guys in NXT right now. That, you know, of any relevance anyway. So every time I start to think NXT's jumping the shark, they're like the New Day. They just keep coming back and hit me with something more awesome than I fully expected. And NXT is where it's at, folks. Like NXT is one of the, has been one of the most solid wrestling brands in the last couple years, and it's not a coincidence. Like these, the people running the show there and the people helping them run the show are just everybody from top to bottom, Triple H all the way down to the camera guys. Like these are people that go to school for this sort of thing, like right next door at Full Sail. It's you know, some of them, and then obviously the rest of them are professionals working on some of the new technologies for the company. It's a really well-run fucking machine down there, and we're all lucky, you know, that we get to benefit from it. So I don't really have much else. Like I said, I did sort of do an NXT alumni spotlight, I guess, recap at the beginning, even though I didn't really talk much about, you know, the two of them in particular, as much as I talked about women's wrestling in general. But it wasn't really a full, you know, crazy match this week. There wasn't like a whole lot going on NXT, but we are getting a little bit of teasers. It's sort of working out now where it's like, because there is so much talent, watching NXT is like watching Lucha Underground now, where like you don't see, I mean, it's always sort of been this way, but now it's like you don't see Almas this week, and maybe we don't see Dillinger next week. Maybe we don't see Joe next week. We'll just see Nakamura. You know, it's, you got to watch it if you got guys that you like, and if you have guys that you like, you better watch it now because they might not be there very long. Like I said earlier in the show, like Rich Swann, it looks like he's not going to be around in NXT anymore. I wouldn't be surprised if Cedric Alexander mysteriously disappears after his, you know, he wraps things up with Almas if he hasn't already, because Alexander's going to be a big time player on 205 Live and probably on Raw or SmackDown or wherever they have cruiserweight wrestling now. That's pretty much it for this week, guys. Like I said, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens moving forward. Please go ahead and go check out our website, obviously, thewpn.com. Like I said earlier in the show, for me, I'm on Twitter at WWPNBello, as well as Gmail, WWPNBello@gmail.com. And like I said, check out the website. We're going to have 205 Live and 5 on a weekly basis. So like I said, I'm going to do my best to try to get audio up or get video up as opposed to audio. But in the meantime, we'll be doing 5-minute clips. You may have to just look at a goofy picture for 5 minutes. But I do recap the entire hour episode of 205 Live in 5 minutes. The first episode, I waste about 30 seconds trying to explain the concept of the show. So you can see, or I guess hear, me explain an hour-long wrestling show in 5 minutes. And I think I did a pretty damn good job, not going to lie. I think I covered almost everything. So give me your feedback on that. Hashtag 205 Live in 5. The numbers are all numbers. 205 and then 5 at the end. You know, hit me up on Twitter and let's make this a thing. Like I'm more than willing to, you know, we'll put yours up there. You guys want to do a 205 Live in 5? Like, fuck it, let's do it. You guys do them too. We'll throw them up on the YouTube channel if they're any good. And yeah, you know, hopefully this becomes a thing. 205 Live it's pretty interesting show thus far. They, you know, obviously the one episode, but the concept is, you know, it could go really well. It could go pretty, really poorly. And I'm interested, as always, to see what they end up doing with it. But we got a hell of a first episode. We got a little bit of character development from people on the show that have been on Raw and SmackDown and NXT and or Raw and NXT and were in the Cruiserweight Classic that, you know, that they just haven't really gotten an opportunity to just kind of speak naturally. And I'm interested to see where guys like Gulak and Nice fit into the grand scheme of things. They have been teaming a lot, and maybe they're just going to be like the token heel tag team. I hope that they get another set of belts. Like, I hope they do a tag team division or a trios division in the Cruiserweight or on 205 Live, just because it's going to be an hour weekly show based around one belt, and I don't want to see that thing get passed around as often as it's been already. We've already had Perkins, Kendrick, and Swan been the champions, and I don't think that belt's been around for more than 3 months, so that's not cool to me. Like, that diminishes it on a very basic level, and hopefully they straighten it out. I don't see Swan holding it for very long either. I wouldn't be surprised if Kendrick wins it right back, but don't hot potato that belt, please. Like, just please don't. I want somebody to have a long, meaningful run with it, establish it, go up against Austin Aries, beat him, like, just, you know, like, whatever it is. Or maybe Aries is that guy, and maybe Neville's that guy, but shit. Like, if you could have, if I could be living in a world where 205 Live on a weekly basis is like a feud between Neville and Austin Aries, sign me up. On that note, I'm looking at my notes here, and I only have 3 words left written here, and they just say, I am awesome. So taking a page out of the Miz's book, literally, or I guess figuratively, or a combination of both. I don't know, guys. It's late. This has been the Next Level Wrestling Podcast. I am your host, The Andrew Bello, and obviously you are listening to us on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. Thank you, as always. If you've made it this far, you are brave. I'm The Andrew Bello, and you're not. You're welcome. Good night, guys. Don't you cry. Beyond this illusion, I was soaring ever higher.